Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. So this is our season finale of Dexter Resurrection, episode 10, Injustice for All. At first, I thought I was going to get a Metallica song for Injustice for All, but still, this to me was a really good season finale. It was everything that I was anticipating, despite the fact I got it spoiled for me because there was actually a leak that happened with episode 10 when I was trying to find our clips for the episode. Anastasia, there was actually a clip outs from this one YouTube channel, and it spoiled certain things for me, but I'm glad I got to see it in its full context of what those were and how it added up, because I'm like, okay, how does this end? And I also had people trying to spoil it on TikTok for me too and stuff. I'm like, okay, I'm just not going to do any more clip outs until the finale. That's what I had to do.
But that's not cool. I hate spoilers. I mean, we have to be careful with social media because I feel like Showtime and the Dexter pages, they just share like major spoilers and plot twists and different things like that immediately. And right. It's like the day of on Friday. And I guess everybody's supposed to watch it on Thursday evening or like at midnight.
Right. And they're like, okay, people are up. So we're just going to go on and spoil it for you. But what I did was I took that person's YouTube channel and I reported it over to Showtime. Because I'm like, because number one, nobody's seen this episode. It was a week before the show before the finale even aired. So no one even got a chance to even watch it. So, and it was also in Russian. So that's also another thing.
What? How did that work out?
I don't know, but I'm reported it because I don't like leaks. I don't like people doing that. And if I'm going to support a show, I want to be dialed into it 110% and be able to review it based on my thoughts on my first reaction versus something that I've already seen. And luckily I ended up stopping at 10 seconds in and I'm like, okay, I'm closing this out. I'm not doing this, you know, but still overall, it was everything I wanted, everything I anticipated this show to be. I'm happy with it. What was for you for your first reactions to the finale? And then we'll get into the breakdown of it.
I mean, I was sad going in because I love Dexter and I hate that we're already at the end. I was hoping for like a 13, you know,
13 episode
season or more. but I'm kind of greedy. I'm grateful that we're getting him back, but then also I don't want to wait till season two, hopefully. But I mean, without getting too much, it kind of felt like it was a very tidy cleanup, you know, like we were going through everything, which Same, is nice I thought- in a way.
Exactly, because at first I looked at the runtime 48 minutes. I'm like, how are you going to do this in 48 minutes and give us and deliver everything that we wanted in an episode? Because that could be very rushed, you know? It's like putting a Stephen King movie of The Dark Tower and making it like only an hour and 30 minutes versus being a 2.5 hour movie. You cannot do that. But this is the same kind of way in a sense. It's like, okay, how are you going to deliver us with this 46-minute episode? And it was everything that I wanted. And yes, I'm also like you, though, too. I'm sad to see it go. I wanted 13 episodes. I could actually do 20 episodes if they would. But like, I'm selfishly greedy for more Dexter as well.
Yeah. How did you feel before we get into the episode? How did you feel like the season? Like, how did you feel about the stories and everything, the structure, how we went through the season? How did that feel for you?
I thought the structure was really good. I thought the B-side story of Harrison was a little forced on us. We talked about that at the very beginning. But once you've seen how they started tying it together and cleaning that part up and realizing once they actually started connecting the dots on everything, it's like, okay, they're tidying this up over here. So therefore, it doesn't feel that much that forced like I did before going into it. So it was actually fine with the B-side story and how it tied into everything after that. So I thought they cleaned up everything very well on the B side of things. The A storyline, it was really good. I really enjoyed everything within it. I even like Peter Dinklage as Leon. He's going to be missed for me going into season two because he did such a damn great job of being Leon Prodder to the point where I was actually scared of him and stuff.
Yeah, I felt like because of all of the subplots where they were kind of forcing us to get to know like Blessing, like his landlord, and get to know like Harrison more and his whole story. So I felt like they were really forcing a lot of story competing with, Dexter. And it's like, as a Dexter fan, I kind of want more of the focus to be on him. We got that in like the original series a lot, the first few seasons, a lot of it's focused on him. And so I kind of miss that aspect. But again, it's like beggars can't be choosers. So I'm so grateful that Michael C. Hall signed on for this and he's so talented. So I just feel lucky that we have this season.
Right.
But it was jumbled a bit. And I felt like this season could have been a couple seasons. You know, like I felt like we went through the serial killers very fast. He tidied up and cleaned up in like classic Dexter fashion, being meticulous and making sure that no loose ends. But I felt like we could have elongated that for a few episodes, or maybe we didn't meet all of them at once and there's more time with Peter Dinklage and he's like teasing Dexter a little bit more with meeting these new people.
Right. I gotcha.
You know, but also, you know, hindsight's 2020. So when you're in the writer's room and you're trying to come up with like plots and stuff, you know, you've got a lot of stuff going on and pressures to come up with ideas. So as a fan, of course, like we can all riff off and say like what our ideal story is. But, you know, for what it was, I thought the season was pretty good, though a bit jumbled, you know, it was heavy.
But one thing I'm glad about, because normally when we have three or four villains in a room and they want to wipe them off the board right away. And it's even in movies, though, too, where you have three, four villains. And you already know that there's going to be one big bad after that. So they want to quickly get rid of them. And that's exactly how I felt with it. I was like, I wish they would have at least let one of the twins live to be more threatening and kill off Al instead. Because I think that Al's not as a bigger threat to me as the Gemini killers. I think the Gemini killers are the bigger threat than Al.
Well, for what we know of Al right now, he's kind of also shaded in this mystery. So we don't know exactly his full potential, which he could come back. I'm assuming, I mean, obviously, we are super spoilers for our show, our deep dive on the episodes. Right. So I feel like there are some, plots that will take us into season two. And I hope we get to see the actor who plays Al. I hope he comes back and maybe he's coming for vengeance because he doesn't have, that support, that funding anymore. You know, because I imagine all of that's going to be stopped once.
Right. We're going to talk about that too, because it even goes in with Charlie as well. So we're going to dive into that because I think that actually coincides with Charlie's stuff bargain with Leon later on.
Yeah.
Relating to her mother. So we'll get into that. So let's go ahead. Let's break it down. I'm excited to be able to do this recap with you. So Charlie is against everything that Leon did, shooting Batista. Leon wants to leave Dexter in the serial killer trophy room, which is the vault, for 3 days without water, 3 days without oxygen or food. Leon asks Charlie if she's okay with leaving Dexter in the vault. So I like this whole entire thing of where now Leon has that taste for blood because you see that grin on his face and he's so dialed in to the point where Leon was only about trying to delve into their personalities and what makes them be who they are and fanboying at what they do to the point now where I feel like he's now the serial killer. And he even mentions that to Dexter where he goes, thank you. You inspired me to be who I am now because of this. But just knowing that Dexter could actually be locked in that vault without any help, without any oxygen, without any food, I really felt scared for him during that moment.
Yeah, I mean, terrifying. Obviously, like the realization that he could only survive a couple of days. I think they were going to keep the oxygen on for him, right? Or not? Yeah,
because he could only survive for 3 days without oxygen, is what he was saying in that vault.
Oh, because it's so big, I guess. The vault's so big, so there's a lot of air in there. But yeah, like that would have been such a terrible demise for Dexter. And obviously, it's so backwards because as the audience member, we're rooting for Dexter, who is also a serial killer, but he's justified in his choices. And he leads with he's like protecting others from other serial killers, you know,
right.
While, you know, helping his dark passenger and his needs. So it's like a 2-for-1 sale.
Exactly. You know? Right. Because but, we don't want him to suffer.
My heart was racing. But also it's like when something like that happens in the beginning, I know he's going to figure it out or the whole episode is going to be in there. I didn't see him like dying or anything like that at the beginning of the episode.
Me either. I didn't feel it, but it was just that maybe he might not make it out. That whole entire sense of being scared for him, for his life, and the way he was reacting to him being locked in the vault, way Dexter was reacting to himself being locked in there.
Yeah, I feel like one of my biggest scary moments is just him getting found out. I feel so protective of Dexter because like essentially in these shows, he's the good guy, ironically, right? Right. But so I feel so protective over him. And I also have this like feeling like I still really want him to to go work for the police again. So it's like,
me too. I want him to work for NYPD.
Yeah. He could do his blood splatter analyst job. Because I keep on every episode, I'm like, okay, he's safe. Nobody knows about him. I mean, it's questionable, you know, like the detectives and stuff, they don't really like him. But on paper, he hasn't done anything wrong for that. Right. You know, it's just, he's just a little suspicious. He's mysterious.
Everything is just justifiable, right?
Yeah, totally justified. I don't know if you watch that show.
I do a little bit. I dive into a little bit of that, too.
I love Justified, too.
Me, too. But, you know, the thing, too, with him, and it seems like the detectives really like Dexter, though, too. Because especially whenever they helped him out with the New York Ripper case a little bit, because Melvin even tells the detective, his partner, he's like, well, thanks to Dexter, we actually have a weapon now. So it's kind of like they like the way he works and the way his brain works as far as that goes.
I don't know if I got that feeling that they like him. I think that, you know, especially since they go in the vault and they see that Dexter was like 100% right. Right. You know, with what he was saying that the weapon could be, they'll see that he's talented. And so there's another reason that he might be able to get hired, you know, because they're like, right, you figured it out. Let's get you on our team. We're underfunded now. We lost $11 million, right? Because he was going to match it.
Exactly. They just lost over $1 million. So therefore, they don't have enough money to keep out things operational, thanks to everything that happened to Leon and how crooked he was.
So, yeah, what a revelation for them. They're going to be so shocked because at first it's like, okay, so is he just like a fan of, and then you see all the police are all like in one spot,
right?
Calculating like, oh no, oh no, oh no, blood.
This is like too much for me to even, you know, think about, to go through in my mind, because they're so attached to how Leon operates. And not only that, but it's so glued in and dialed into his fundraising to they ignored all the little small signs maybe that he could have got.
So they were just there to party and celebrate. So they probably had a few drinks and they're just not prepped to go into full investigation mode. And so that's got to be like whiplash for them to go into like literally a crime, multiple crime scenes and
do their job.
Yeah. And have to like sober up so fast. It's like a slap in the face. Exactly. But that was a funny moment. You know, well, it was kind of goofy where the young police officer was like, we need to call this in. He's like, the other detective was like, no, we're all here. Who are we going to call?
Yeah, right. Who are you going to call? We're all here. We're all gathered in this.
Yeah. I mean, that felt goofy and forced, but I kind of snickered at it. I was like,
I giggled at that. Really too. It was like, there? We are the cops. That's, you know. But yeah, then you see Dexter, he sees Brian, he's telling him that he shouldn't be feeling anything, and he's listening to what Harry taught him, and that he should have listened to him and embraced who Dexter is, which is a serial killer. Brian also telling him that he could have had a brother, and that Dexter messed that up by killing him. Dexter messed up Leon's club and telling him Batista was never his friend. Brian tells Dex that he is going to die in the vault, and he's Leon's biggest trophy, but also like how he said, basically, you're listening to your fake father. You're also, you screwed that up. You screwed everything up with Leon. So, you know, just embrace who you are. And unless you, the only way, and if you want to survive, the only way that you can do that is if you can't pretty much go into cannibalism and eating Batista.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ew.
So, you know, I just thought that at first, it's playing with our minds, right? And this is what I was thinking. Is Dexter going to lean over to Brian's side? Or if he's going to stay who he is? And I like how Dexter goes, and he even mentions, Brian even mentions this. He goes, well, the last words that Batista said was, fuck you, Dexter Morgan. So he's trying to get him to lean on over to his side. But I like how Dex goes on ahead and says, why does this hurt so much? Why? And he goes, that's because you're listening to your father. But I also like how he does this. He goes, you know what? Fuck you. He tells Brian, pretty much. I'm going to go on ahead and keep being who I am. And I was such a breath of relief for me to know that he's not going to change who he is based on the circumstances that he's in. And then once he beats that, that side of him, he now has Harry on his side. So I like how they balance that out to where it's like, they're not going to change his character based on the circumstances he's in. He's still Dexter. He just needs to find himself out of there in another way.
Yeah, I feel like we're always dealing with, is Dexter going to just like go off the deep end and just become this rageful serial killer? Because he has all of the like talent in that area to do bad and harm. But what makes him different is this like justice that he feels and his code that, you know, his dad gave him. And so that's what sets him different. And so also, I thought that it was so great. This whole season has been just total fanfare and giving us all of these, like, we get to revisit these old characters and actors. And so I've loved getting to see that and incorporating everybody. So that was totally fun to see his brother, even though it was just for a little bit. Right. I was kind of hoping that we were going to see Dokes, but maybe for season two. Like,
that's what I was hoping for. Surprise, motherfucker. What are you doing in this vault? You know,
right?
It would have been funny, though, to see him pull on Dexter that way, too. It's like, I thought you were too smart for this, Dexter. I thought you knew everything and you were in the know of everything. So yeah, it'd be cool if he was like trolling him.
I thought we were going to have a jump scare cut into like from Brian to Dokes. But we didn't get that, unfortunately. But hopefully in the future, now that I feel, I'm trying to remember, I don't know if there was a lot of this talking to his dad like this or like having other visitors. So is this kind of, I'm blanking a little bit. Is this kind of just for the season or is he in the original season? Did he do this too? Because I know he talks to himself a lot, you know, right. The narration, which is great. I love.
He talks to Harry a lot. It just wasn't until this, whenever every single person he killed started visiting him in his subconsciousness. Now, in New Blood, his sister Deb does visit him.
Yeah.
Because I remember the wood shop chipper that she had, and she was just wood chipping everybody that he killed and stuff into the wood chipper and reminding him of who he killed. I want to say that's like the last thing I remember of her doing. But also too, this is actually the first time I ever seen Dex actually grab Harry's throat in one of the episodes and was really in his face. I'm like, whoa, okay, you're going a little bit too much on the Brian side right now.
Yeah, be nice to Ghost Dad.
Right. I like that. But yeah, I think if you put Dokes into it, I think it pulls away from having Harry in there with him later on, because I'm thinking you have too many people in that vault. That's just me on how I'm thinking.
Well, I was trying to think, like, what would you, I mean, as Dexter, you're spiraling. You just killed your friend. You're stuck in there. Your son, who you've been trying to protect and save from a fate in prison, because, you know, he killed that guy in the beginning. And so he's just been maneuvering and protecting Harrison. And, you know, so he's spiraling at that point. So I was kind of thinking, like, oh, is this going to turn into like some weird fever dream? And we're just going to get hit by like all of these people that
makes you sense, know, though, to have Dokes. It would make sense to have Dokes, though, in a too, because of the fact that you just killed someone that was close in that department, and have Dokes there would make sense. I do get, yeah, I do think it does.
Again, it's like he feels guilty for these unjustified kills where it's just to protect himself. And then also, I mean, he didn't kill him. It was Dinklage. He was trying to protect him. And if it wasn't for Batista, like, going after Dexter, they could have teamed up and taken over.
Right. You know? And that's what I said.
Dropped the ball. And I don't want to say he asked for it, but kind of. A little issue, because, like, I'm trying to remember the original Batista. Like, right now, I feel like everybody's like, oh, he's such a great guy. And then I was like, wait, he, like, cheated on his wife. He's, like, a womanizer. He's drinking on the job. He wasn't a really good friend. Like, all of this stuff. And I'm like, why are we like lifting this man up? And then now, like, according to him, before he found evidence, of course he's right, but on the surface level, he's like just harassing Dexter and Harrison throughout the whole season. So right. And impersonating, I mean, he's just breaking laws left and right. And so I mean, I get it. Like, we needed that touching moment, but I don't know if, like, I don't know if Dexter, if they were that close. I feel like it's a little weird.
What I remember was this. I do remember when Dex helped Batista. He was drunk and hungover, and he ended up trying to take him over to the Greta's house, or his ex, I think it was his ex-wife's house, his other ex-wife. And
the first one, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
And also, he wasn't even supportive of who was the other chief in the woman, LaGuardia? Was that her name?
Yeah.
He ended up not even being that supportive of her with her raises and like questioning her about her money and stuff. And I'm like, this guy's not a great guy.
Right. But I think with this, it kind of redeems him in a way because of the guilt and stuff like that, too. I think maybe that's what people are looking at. But at the same time, like you said, on the surface level and stuff, he cheated. He was a womanizer. He was a drunkard and stuff like that. So, you know, he wasn't as good as a guy that, you know, that they made him out to be. Because I remember that stuff in the earlier seasons of Dexter, you know?
Yeah, I think we're trying to make him this, like, angel. And he's not really. So I didn't think that it was like a huge, huge loss, but I understand like Dexter was kind of like crumbling at that moment too. Like, it was a compilation of a lot of issues.
A lot of different emotions and stuff all wrapped in one big spiraling thing. But then we have a dark humor moment with Batista's phone ringing to Smash Mouth All-Star and calling about Wallace and how she told him that Batista's in New York City, tells Batista to come home and wonders why he's in New York. Dexter calls Harrison and wants him to come let him out of the vault, which is putting Harrison in danger, which Harry also says, so is this for you or is this for Harrison and stuff? Because you said that you didn't want him to be involved in this, but he has no choice but to put him in danger to get him out, which also puts Harrison in a thing where now he has no choice but to work that shift for the catering thing when he already declined it one time. And I also like how Harry says, Dex, are you scared of dying? So I like that moment. And then you also have me calling from Batista's phone, which is Harrison's wondering that. But let's talk about the other stuff. So what did you think of the dark humor stuff in it? And then also, too, what did you think about Dexter calling Harrison?
Yeah, well, yeah, to your point, I feel like there's always going to be this little bit of Dexter about self-preservation. He has to survive. He's like this apex predator, and he wants to survive these situations that he puts himself in. I think that he's not intentionally trying to put Harrison in like problems, or you know what I mean? But I right. think that there's a very strong like self-preservation in Dexter. And so he's going to use everything at his fingertips. I mean, you look at him when he was like trying to figure out if there was any way out of the vault. He was looking at the air ducts. He was looking at everything to see if there was any way that he could like shimmy out, I guess.
Right.
But yeah, and then on Harrison's side, it's like he's reconnected with his dad. He's trying to have like a quote unquote normal relationship and normal life. So at that point, and he also feels guilty. He's having, you know, like trauma issues with how he almost killed his dad, and that grieving for his father, going through all that trauma, and then to be reunited. So I feel like for his character at that point, he's like, I'm going to do anything for you. Because like, you know, when you think about it right. with family, it's like, you're going to do anything.
Because that's your son. Him. You're going to drop everything for him and do anything that you can to help protect him.
Yeah, and for him, for his dad, you know. So I feel like those were that... Knowing the characters, I feel like those were organic choices for them to make. I don't think it was great that Dex put Harrison in danger again, but also he's a big boy and he, you know, it wasn't out of context because he is, he works in like a service. So right. it was easy for him to infiltrate that whole thing, which I felt like everything was a little easy. Did you get that feeling? Like, I felt like everything, like, we were just streamlining through, you know?
It's kind of like watching a cartoon in a sense where, you know, the main characters are safe, kind of, and playing it safe.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, also, it's like, I felt like there's going to be this big moment at the end, which there was. And so it was kind of just like a filler, you know, and fluff right, it was like, to well, get us
step
there.
One, let's try and get Harrison into the catering job. Let's go ahead and place him there to infiltrate that place, and then let's just move on ahead and try to get Dexter out of the safe as fast as we can.
Yeah, it was so, a little spoon fed for me for as audience, you know, but also they have so many subplots running at the same time. They're probably just like, oh, we have to write these out, we have to figure it out.
Right, which I think that they could have done like an hour and 20 minute episode for this one, for a finale.
Completely. Just to get Yeah, like, why wasn't it a double finale? Like, we could have done one episode and then a second, you know, like, to be continued right. situation. And then leave on the cliffhanger of Dexter in there and Harrison's at the party or something. That would have been right. a perfect cliffhanger. Yeah, I wonder why they didn't do that. Weird. Maybe
that is weird, but I think it's the fact, too, that there's like, look, we failed the audience not once but twice already. We don't want to fail them again. And so I think they wanted to go ahead and be like, hey, look, we're going to give them everything they want in a Dexter episode for the final season. It's going to be 46 minutes long, but we're going to get to everything that we need to get to. So that's how I felt on that. But I do feel like, in a sense, like with Harrison, I did feel bad. I felt suspense with him. Because of the fact that how close he came to Dinklage, to Leon, because remember, Leon doesn't notice the help or anything either. So he just takes a glass off of Harrison mm-hmm. and doesn't even realize that's Harrison. And also, too, Dexter says rich people don't understand or anything like that, doesn't take any notice to him. And so he's easy to maneuver anything because of the fact he is part of this catering company that's part of the hotel. But my mouth just fell open. I'm like, oh my God, is he going to recognize him at all? And he's still making small talk with one of the police chiefs or whatever. And in the back of my head, I'm like, so are you just playing it off like you don't know him? Or is it just the fact that, you know, there's a lot going on in this party that you don't notice him? So that's,
yeah. Yeah, that's what I was completely. Getting at. I mean, I guess like for super rich people, you know, the help becomes invisible. like what they were saying. I feel like it was a little bit against character, because I feel like with Dinklage's character, he kind of is, I wouldn't say he's suspicious, but he's watching everything, right? Right. And I feel like because they made a big deal about like the AirPod, I feel like that would have been a moment like him kind of reprimanding, because he likes to be in charge. He likes to own people. So I felt right. like there could have been a moment where somehow Harrison isn't found out, but like he mentions like, hey, take the earbud out. You're at work, you know, be professional, something like that. I thought that that right. should have been acknowledged, because like they made it so in our face that he was wearing, you know, like an earbud. And then I was thinking, like, it would have been more, like, interesting if he had some kind of, you know, like, Secret Service thing that he could, like, somehow connect. You know what I mean? Because it just, like, felt a little rough.
Right.
But that's,
I gotcha.
Like, minor issue.
Right. And I also like how Dex also tells him, well, all I can see is just your glass of champagne.
Yeah, this is his, like, you know how, like, they say it's not my first rodeo? This is, like, Harrison's first rodeo.
First rodeo going out, right.
He doesn't know how to be, like, a secret agent or...
right.
He's, like, messing up left and right. But then he's quick on his feet, too, with, you know, when he has a little altercation with one of the security people. So you notice that, because he plays it so straight, like, very flat. But his, like, and almost like you don't see his wheels turning as the actor, you know, as the character, but he comes up with these, like, great lies just instantly, you know? Right. So he is calculating. It's interesting when you think about his character, because it seems like very just on the surface, but he is keeping track of things. Like, he noticed his friend was, like, smoking a vape. You know, and right. not really working and kind of like slacking off. And so he used him, right?
Right. Just as Dexter would have actually used that to get by security. So I'm like, I put in my notes, I'm like, this is a very good Dexter move on Harrison, because Dexter would have done the same thing. Use someone that's innocent to get him out of the way. So that way he can go ahead and maneuver wherever he needs to maneuver at. So I like how quickly Harrison's thinking on his feet. And I didn't think he was going to do that, because we've seen Harrison's panic so many times within the season. All of a sudden now his dad needs him and he's just dialed in to wanting to save his dad, to the point where it's like, oh shit, I almost got caught. And then the security guy comes over to him and says, so what's going on? You not be over here. He goes, oh, I was just trying to get someone, someone's attention, because there's someone on the that's smoking weed where the employees are, and I don't think he's very effective at work. He goes, who is that? He points to his friend, he goes over there, and then he's able to move up the stairs. So I like that. And then you have Harrison picking the lock, and I like how Dexter also says this to him. He goes, so you remember how I taught you the last time? He goes, yeah. And he picks the lock, he gets through, but then he's met with Charlie, and my mouth fell open on that, but I was afraid for him on that level, because Charlie is someone that you do not want to mess with.
Yeah, she's a trained killer. Yeah, I do not want to meet Charlie in a dark alley.
Exactly.
If I'm on her radar.
But with here's another thing, though, too. Then you have Dexter, who discovers the serial killer files and the file on Charlie and even Al. Harry's dark humor about him, about Leon leaving a post-it note in a secret vault combination, made me laugh. You also have the flashback of to Leon and Dex hitting the code wrong, alarms go off, and Charlie's last name is Charlie Brown. And I like how Harry goes, no wonder why she's pissed off all the time.
Yeah.
So then he goes, Dexter's dad's asking Dex, is it possible that he thought that Dex would be going down as the dark passenger? Leon always hosts the gala on the anniversary of his parents' death. Dexter thinks the combination is the anniversary day that Leon's parents died, but he can't use the code to get out. It will put Harrison in danger, like we mentioned. Harrison, the inside, I call him the inside man. That's what I called Harrison, the inside man.
Oh, funny. That's a good one.
He uses his phone scan. Okay, we talked about that. So what did you think about him finding the files in this serial killer room? And part of me was thinking, okay, this was plan A. If he killed Batista and he would actually show Dex, hey, look, these are the files I have on everybody. And I think that was his plan all along. He would kill Batista and then he would show him the files. I don't think it's a convenience thing that he has a bunch of serial killer files in this serial killer trophy room. I think it was there and laid out for him to explain to Dex about who he has for these buffet line of people for him to kill. But what do you think?
Yeah, So Dinklage wanted Dexter to join forces together and go after all of these serial killers. So yeah, it's pretty, I don't know. It's convenient that he had all of those in the vault. In the vault. I wanted to say lair almost, but right. Yeah, in the vault. I don't know. It felt like a little spoon fed. It felt like that needed to be kept somewhere else. Like maybe they found it on the way out. But on the other hand, I guess that's a safe hiding place where he keeps all of the stuff that could, you know, just ruin him.
Right. Because it makes sense. Because why would you keep that in another filing thing when you have all your serial killer trophies in one area? So you would want the files all in one area, but it's kind of weird to have Charlie's file mixed in with the serial killer stuff.
Yeah. As well. So he kind of just looks at her as the same, you know, he just doesn't have any value of people, I guess. And that was a thing that really bothered Charlie, because she didn't want to be thought in that way. Even though she is killing, like when we're introduced to Charlie, she kills one of the serial killers, right? Right. And so she's like, I guess in Dinklage's, his character's mind, it's like she's kind of the same, you know, like that he owns everybody. But right. Yeah, that seemed to really ruffle her feathers, you know, and that was like the last straw for her.
Right, that was it. That was the line that he crossed because of the fact that he has a whole file on her. So it puts her to want to quit working for Leon. But we'll get into that in a minute. But we're now back over with Charlie and Harrison. Charlie intercepts Harrison. Dexter tries to tell Charlie that he will airdrop every bit of evidence that he will evidence that Leon has on Charlie if she doesn't let Dexter and Harrison go. Tells him she lets Harrison go and Dexter gets to stay in the vault. If any info about her is leaked, she comes for Harrison and kills him. Charlie walks out of the room in Harrison and gets Dexter out of the vault. Dexter stays and tells Harrison to leave. So you have a lot going on here with that one thing, because I like how he puts where Dexter says, well, put her on the phone. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, I see a file on you, Charlie Brown. And because I'm sure that all the cops in the city have their airdrop available, ready for anything. So either you let my son go, or or else I'm going to release all the information through the airdrop. And then that's when she cuts it and says, "Well, I'll let your son live, but you're going to stay where you are." And then, you know, and if any information about her is leaked, she's going to come after Harrison. And after that, she winds up leaving. She goes, there's something good in there. And, you know, and then after that, Harrison goes on ahead and tries to do the code, the combination to the vault. So I thought this was actually a pretty good threatening thing, because I find Uma Thurman very scary with this. I'm sorry, but she's very scary. I did not even want to mess with this woman. I would piss my pants if this woman even pointed a gun at me and told me that I need to leave my dad in the vault. You know, I would not try to have any attitude with her. I'd be like, Harrison, I'll just sit there for a minute, let her walk off, and then after that, I'll help my dad. But still, very scary moment. I thought it was intense. I thought it was great. I thought that whole entire scene really worked for me. But how about for you?
Yeah, well, there was a moment kind of where Charlie gave Harrison, where he was at a fork in the road, right? Like, she says that he's no good. You know, like you have a chance to kind of be rid of that because she knows who he is, right? She knows that he's the Bay Harbor Butcher and everything leading up to that, and that he's been killing all of, right? I mean, I feel like at this point they know that he's been killing all the serial killers. They kind of know everything about Dexter. And so she kind of gives Harrison a choice, almost like in The Matrix, you know, like the red pill or the blue pill, you know. But I was a little confused, like what would happen to Dexter if Harrison didn't get him? He just dies. But then what's going to happen to Charlie? She just leaves. And hopefully Dinklage's character like covers up everything on his own. Like that kind of felt like a little open-ended and that the story had to go this way.
Well, if you think about it like this, though, then we'll talk about that right now. But remember, she actually goes back downstairs to Leon. And then after Harrison winds up letting Dexter out of the vault, Harrison goes back. And to me, I think it would have been better if he just finishes off his shift. Because Leon doesn't even know he's there. So that's what I put in my notes. I'm like, it would make more sense for him just to finish off the shift, get it over with, be done with it. Then Leon discovers the vault is open. That would have been the perfect alibi. But let's talk about this. So when Charlie goes back to confront Leon, she goes, look, how dare you have tabs on me? It's bad enough that you already have leverage on me, but now you bought me at a price. And if anything happens to my mom, I'm going to come after you. And if the payments stop coming through, I'm going to come after you.
Mm-hmm.
So you have her threatening him, and then she walks off, then he gets his ass back on stage, and you can tell he's angry.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Agree, but at the same, because the way he's saying it, goes, all right, everybody, let's let's see what how much money we have now. And so it's about him matching the profits and stuff like that. We'll talk about that in a minute, but I think that it also goes into what you were saying about the fact that, you know, does that have an open ended? I think it's still going to end the same way for her, where she blackmails, where she was a blackmailing Leon into doing what she wants him to do. And he just dies. And then pretty much Dexter just dies in the vault and leaves Leon to go ahead and clean up his mess.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I kind of felt like there wasn't enough air, or like we didn't see Harrison like choose, like, is, you know what I mean? Like our heart racing, like, is he going to save his dad or not? Like he just went instantly, which is great. Cause then you would be questioning Harrison. Like, what do you mean you're going to, after all of this, really, this is the moment that you decide to like ditch your dad?
Right, exactly. It's like, I worked my way up to the vault. And now that I had this confrontation with Charlie, I'm done, Dad. Peace. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to go bang Gigi right now and have a nice and bye.
It was so, such a long, drawn out moment at the key. You know what I mean? Like doing all of that, that was like excruciating, because it's like, come on, like hurry up and do it already.
Right. I understand that they're trying to add to the suspense of it. But at the same time, it's like, come on, Harrison, get your ass up, move over to the vault, get and talk to your dad.
Yeah, because yeah. I was thinking, like, because I was on the fence, like, okay, are they going to mess up? And then all of a sudden, there's going to be a bunch of police there and Leon's there. And then they go in, and is Dexter going to somehow, like, because he's good at, like, maneuvering and getting, like, wiggling out of situations. So I was like, is he going to, like, put on a police hat and just, like, walk right by them? You know what I mean? Because, like, right. Leon can't acknowledge anything, or he's at fault as well, because everybody's going to be just shocked going in. So I was thinking, I was like, okay, is that where we're going to go with this? But then Leon's going to be on the hook, mm-hmm. you know, because right. it's his private area, his vault.
His own private domain is going to be ruined because there's a dead body in there. Not well, also two dead bodies.
I mean, so much. About it. Right. So many issues.
But I do like the fact that, you know, Dex is also telling Harrison, hey, look, this is the combination. He's thinking it's actually the anniversary of his parents' death, which makes sense because the anniversary, and he also does the gala on the anniversary of his parents' deaths. But I like how he goes through it and he's second guessing himself. And I'm like, are you really second guessing yourself right now? And I like how Harrison's also saying, Dad, you second guessing yourself is making me panic because it's not like you to second guess yourself. And he's looking through the files and he found the number, the inmate number of that serial killer that killed his parents. And he's like, look, put this one in. And then the last number was a 4. And he wasn't sure if Harrison got the number or not. Turned out he did.
Yeah, that was the moment. I was like, did he hear 4? 4 is my favorite number. So I was like, did he hear 4? Did he hear it? But it was he had to push the okay button.
Right.
That was the thing. And then he did it. But that's like a true sign of love too, because he's risking his whole life and future if he goes down, because, like, you know, obviously, like, they're going to put 2 and 2 together, you know.
Right. But I do like how Dex picks him up and twirls him around and hugs him. And you have that father and son moment. And Dex, he goes back in the vault after he let his son out.
I know. I was like, why are we going in?
Right? Because I was like, Dex, move your ass and go. He's over there and he goes, look, I have to grab some things. I'm like, what do you have to grab?
He grabbed his trophies.
He grabbed his some other things that belong to Rapunzel.
Because he wants to go after him and others. It seems like he wanted to go, like, unless, was that all just Rapunzel and maybe himself?
Yeah, so, it was like a little bit of everything. He got a bag that belonged to the Gemini killer, I believe. He also got a knife that belonged to another serial killer, and he also got Rapunzel's something else that belonged to Rapunzel. I don't remember what it was, but it was one of like a weapon or something. But I just thought it was funny. He grabbed all this stuff.
Yeah.
And his trophies.
And then I keep on thinking, like, before the vault was open, I kept on thinking, I was like, he's touching everything.
Yeah.
He's touching all of these things. Like, you need to stop touching so much.
Right? Because we talked about that, too, with the buffet and stuff like that. He's touching everything on that.
All of it. Yeah.
And then even Harris is like, how are you going to get out? I'm going to thumb for a ride.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I just like that moment of Harrison saving him. But I'm also thinking the same thing like you're thinking. He's touching everything. How is this going to even work out? And he's even touched the chainsaw. He touched everything. And then he's cleaning up after himself. And he winds up leaving all the files on the floor. And so it happens to be, we'll get into that a little bit later. But, you know, and he winds up taking a couple of files for himself to feed on his own hunger. But then we have Harrison who makes his way down to the gala. Leon and Charlie are talking. Charlie quits working for him because Leon had a file on her. Leon goes back to the stage and notices Harrison because he knocked over one of the waiters. And Leon gets the police captain to speak on his behalf. And Leon tells security to shut the cameras off so that he can catch up with Harrison. Leon also asks the security officers for his gun. Dexter is escaping through the elevator as Harrison is caught. So my thing is this. I was hoping that this would not be a Rita situation. Whereas he's leaving, Harrison's getting ready to die. Because it could have been this thing where, as he's going down, he's missing Harrison. Maybe a few seconds, he would have actually been able to see Leon bringing Harrison up. So I was thinking it was going to be one of those moments of like, oh shit, he's going to kill, Leon's going to go ahead and kill Harrison just as Dexter's leaving. But instead, Leon winds up calling Dexter and he makes Dexter go back up into the elevator and then you have that confrontation. But what did you think of this whole entire thing on how they played everything out? Where Leon shuts off the cameras, the security guys, and then going into this scene.
Yeah, I thought that it was I guess because everything is new to Harrison. So he's like messing up left and right. I thought like he probably would have with like his life and his dad's life in jeopardy. I thought that he would have been a little bit, more secretive trying to get away from Dinklage because like I felt like he hid away and then randomly he just like ran so that Dinklage could see him. It was really weird. And then what else? Yeah, I was kind of thinking that there was going to be a moment where like Leon was going to have Harrison and maybe he was going to end him, there.
Right.
And then I thought that would move us into season two. And then that would be where Dexter's focus was. But knowing where it ended, that couldn't be, because he kind of ends things. But I would have kind of liked to see that rather than having Al be the big thing for season two. And then also,
I think there's going to be something more to that, though. And I'll get to that in a minute. I think there are going to be two baddies in the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get into my prediction for that because I want to know your predictions.
Yeah.
But I do agree that Al, to me, is not a bigger threat unless they expand his character out more to actually see how he really is. Because we only seen him in small segments of who he is as a serial killer in front of other people. But we have not actually seen how he is with his family life or anything like that when he was in his own town. So that's another thing.
Yeah, for me with Al, it's like I feel like he's such a goofy serial killer. Like the whole laughing. I mean, obviously watching him kill, it was, it was dark. But I just feel like he's not like top tier. Like it's not like one of the old villains from the original series. So I was a little bit let down that it feels like that Al's going to go into the second season, and be one of them.
Right.
I imagine, unless there's just going to be a red herring, I feel like they're, they kind of leave a lot of things open. Like, I feel like we didn't get to fully figure out what's going on with Blessings, all of these kind of like little things that they kind of pique our interest and it feels like it's going somewhere and then it leads to nothing, you know?
Well, they could do a lot with Blessings' family in season two, but what I'm thinking that's going to happen.
I mean, it feels like he's going to leave, but I don't know. Maybe for a cover so he doesn't have to totally forget Dexter Morgan. Maybe he's going to try to grin and bear it and stay in New York and just act like everything's normal. Because I don't think any of the detectives saw him, obviously.
No.
They didn't see Harrison, right? So they're not connected in any way. Unless there's some kind of fingerprint somewhere.
Well, we're going to get to this, okay, too, because I actually have a couple of predictions. But I feel like this. I think that Charlie's going to be one of the main people that's going to come after Dexter. Because thinking like this, if funding stops for her mother, which it will because Leon is dead, she's going to come after Dexter because she's going to know something's up. Then you also have the other thing too with Al, because he's also benefiting from the money too. But I think that what will be cool for like a cold opening for season two is Dexter just goes over to Al's city and kills him as the opening, and then it goes into season two of Dexter living out in New York and stuff like that. And then it goes into them finally catching the New York City Ripper, thanks to Dexter. It shows aftermath of that, or how they're trying to track the New York City Ripper because now they know who he is. But we'll get into that in a few minutes. But that's just a few little things that I would like to see happen in season two and some of the predictions that I think that's going to happen. I think Charlie, this is not going to be the last time that we see of Charlie.
Yeah, I kind of felt that because I, you know, with Uma Thurman, she's such a great actress. I feel like her character is going to be developed more. Like, why would she just take a side, you know, like character? Unless she's like a huge Dexter fan. Like, I would do background work on Dexter, you know, like I right. just want to be part of it.
That's how I would feel too.
But I feel like for her, yeah, the character is definitely going to be pissed when she figures out, because apparently she was not getting paid a lot of money from Leon. Like, why doesn't she have all of this money to pay for, you know, like, what was he, did he not pay her anything? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like as a woman, she would have a bunch of like funding and stuff too. You know?
But I'm also thinking the other thing too is like Leon's only paying her the bare minimum because he's taking care of the mother. So that's actually being more beneficial for Charlie, is Leon taking care of the mother versus her getting paid.
Yeah. So she might end up being really pissed that like support and funding is cut off because at a certain point they're going to go through his estate. And whatever automatic payments, you know, that's going to be tidied up, I imagine. But that's going to open up. I mean, I guess he's already under the bus because they went into his vault. So I'm just curious how she might be on the run now, because if he's paying her and if it's like, we don't know how far, you know, because like also did Dexter take her file with him or did she throw him under? Did he throw her under the bus?
I was looking at the files and I didn't see her name on the files.
Okay. So maybe because she spared Harrison's life, maybe Dexter, like, you know, threw pity on her or something. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. It's mixed bag, but hey, I'm all for it if she does come back, you know?
I think she's great. I actually wanted to see more of her. I thought she was very underused in this. And I feel like the character, we could have gotten to see a little bit more. And then also I felt like, you know, they did too much explanation. They tidied too much at the end. Like when we didn't need that scene of her getting her mom in the car. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like that was unnecessary, you know, like,
we already know she's going to be gone. Right, because I feel like this, though, Anastasia, too. I'm like, we already know she's going to be gone. We already know she quit. We already know she's going to take her out. So why show that as a montage or anything?
We totally did not need it at all. Like, this is the kind of stuff that, like, it's like, as the audience member, like, I'm smart enough to figure this out. When she left after she did a threat, like, I already knew she was out of town. You know, like, I didn't need to know any of this stuff.
Exactly.
It was too much.
I agree. I don't need to be treated like an idiot to not know that she was going to leave. I don't need to show her leaving in a montage. And then after that, you get Blessing and his family and stuff. But I do like the moment with his family and the montage and stuff like that. But let's go in. Let's talk about this. So now Dex is actually face to face with Leon. And he has the basically Harrison has the gun to his head from Leon. And Leon says, look, you're my inspiration. You're the reason why I'm able to kill now, because I didn't know I had this in me or anything. He goes, well, how about this? Killing my son is just a small pedestal for you. How about this? How about you take down the Bay Harbor Butcher, which is even bigger than what you're doing right now? He goes, ooh, I like that idea, but no. And I like how Dexter looks at Harrison and goes, you know that protection I gave you? You know how to use it still, right? So Harrison takes the needle, jabs it in him, and he falls to the floor. And then Harrison's like, what are you going to do? He goes, I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to clean up my mess and everything, and then I'll be gone. He's like, are you sure? He goes, yeah. So Carousel leaves, and then we have that moment where now he's on, where we have Leon on the table. And I love this scene where Dexter's just trolling him. He goes, "It's so enlightening." You know how he's always, when, you know, where you have Leon, who was also doing like this, he goes, "It's so enlightening," and stuff like that. And I just thought it was funny with the dark humor of Dexter mocking him. And now he's on the table. And as that's going on, the gala is still going on with the fundraising. And it's only like 3 minutes, like 2 minutes until Leon's match with the police department's match, where it has like 2.3 million or $11 million. And then at first I was like, okay, is he just going to leave him there and let, because I was thinking to myself, is there a way that you can just plaster Leon on the table and just let the spotlight be on him?
Yeah, exactly. No, I was thinking that that would have been a great ending too, because then Dexter could get away. He gets everything that he needs and then he just serves him up. So I'm not, yeah. I totally agree that that was a thought.
Right. But then after that, I think Dexter's like, well, he's going to still come after me. And he's still, and Leon is still trying to bribe him with stuff too, because he goes, come on, think of your kid's future. Think of Harrison's future. I can pay for his college. Just don't ever say my son's name again. And then you also see him with the scalpel. He goes, no, I'm not going to do this. He goes, I only, get people's blood on the slide on people that I want to remember, because I don't want to remember you. And I, and this is where Leon is crying and begging for his life. And I just thought, you're not as powerful and rich as you think you are. You're not as smart as you think you are. This is your end. This is it, the end of you. And I just love that moment of him stabbing him right in the heart. And then you see him, see Dexter cleaning up his mess and, you know, cleaning up the fingerprints and then off the chainsaw and off the other stuff with the serial killers. And then you see him taking the body bag with Leon's pieces of Leon. So I just thought that was pretty, I just thought it was really good on how they wrapped that up. And then you also have everybody, all the police officers also wondering where he is, where Leon is. And then you have Wallace and Melvin, who are, well, let's see. Basically, Wallace is just tired of being at the gala. She doesn't even want to be at the gala. And then all of a sudden, Stay Alive comes on, and she starts dancing. What'd you think?
Oh, man. Okay. Well, to back up a little bit, I thought that it was a great moment for Leon and Dexter. Like, we're... I forget where it was. It was probably when Leon was gonna kill Harrison, and he was talking about, I think that's the part where he was talking about, like to quote him, he said, like, what's this called? The itch, the need, the great yearning. And Dexter's like, the urge. And so I thought that was a great moment, because it was kind of like Leon was in a way mocking him. And then flip side, a couple minutes later, we've got Leon on the table, the stretcher or whatever it is. And then we've got Dexter hovering over him. And like what you said, mocking him the whole, like doing this and the, you know, right. It was a great miming. I love that. Cause you're just like throwing it in his face. Like, you know, you think you're so, you know, great and powerful, but look at you, you know, you're just right. Another Bay Harbor butcher victim.
Exactly. Look at you now. You're not as powerful as you think you are. You're not in control like you think you are. You are a piece of shit, and I'm going to get rid of you. So I really love that moment between them two, and him mocking him was something that I was just cracking up loving, because I love dark humor like that. Mm-hmm. It is, and to quote this episode, Injustice for All, is justify killing because of the fact this guy is a serial killer killing this guy who even said it. He goes, I gave you a whole entire buffet line of serial killers and stuff. So, you know. But still, I thought the ending for Leon was really good. And then you also have Melvin dancing, you know, basically you have Melvin and the detective pole dancing to stay alive. And then after that, the alarm goes off and the penthouse Dexter takes Leon's yacht and the police find the serial killer trophy room that belongs to Leon added. And then Dexter takes Leon's thumb. Dexter dumps Leon's body. I love the respect that Wallace still shows for Batista too, because when she gives where she winds up taking his hat, he goes, "This belonged to Captain Batista."
Yeah, which is kind of weird because I don't know if she would do that, just like because she's so like, I don't know. It just felt like a little bit of a weird moment. Like, I get it. But I don't know if she would have done that because to her, he's just some random guy who she finds out. One, she's like suspicious that he is the Bay Harbor Butcher himself. And she doesn't like it that he went against the rules and she was about to like arrest him on the spot. So I don't know how, I guess maybe just being a fellow, you know, law enforcement and died like not on duty because he was retired. But I guess just being in the crossfire of it. But also it's not explained if he is the Bay Harbor Butcher or not. So like maybe it seems like maybe Dexter is setting him up to be the Bay Harbor Butcher. You know, like maybe he took care of Leon. You know what I mean? Because like nobody knows.
Well, also too, there's no body parts for Leon or anything like that either. So he could
because like he went on his yacht. The yacht has a tracking device. Like, I don't know if this is all thought up. I thought that he would go in like some kind of little dinghy or something. You know, like there's so much tracking happening on that mega yacht that's probably like worth like $5 million or something insane. It's like Leonardo DiCaprio's yacht, you know?
Right. I got you. From like Wolf of Wall Street or something. Right.
Yeah. So it's like he's taking this huge, showy, you know, it's gorgeous. And the lights, I mean, I'm not a boat person, but it's, I can say it's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And he's taking that out in the middle of the night while all of this is happening. I feel like the detectives are, if they're good at their job, they're going to put 2 and 7 together. Like, okay, something happened. Like, we've got to like comb, you know, because like Bay Harbor Butcher is on their mind, right? And so, do they know? I think they know about like the underground kind of like burials that he does. I mean, the underwater.
Right. Because in season two, in season two, they actually, we find all the body parts on season two. But
yeah, because that was part of the thing, like how she figured out the like, finding the all dumps. The pieces at the dump, right?
Right.
Like, well, remember, they're kind of privy to it.
Well, also, too, with Dokes and stuff like that, too, she didn't know anything about the Bay Harbor Butcher until Batista came in to the picture and mentioned the Bay Harbor Butcher and the way he killed other people and stuff and how it was blamed on Dokes.
So theory, I wonder with, like, Batista with his body and then when they examine him, if the time periods, because I think it's within a couple hour window when they can figure out. So I don't think it's totally defined, like at this time he died. So maybe there's like some, I mean, I don't know if they're going to go into that possible plot point, but maybe it could have been Batista going out. I don't know. But it's just like kind of weird. You know, if you think about it from the detective's perspective of what she knows of everything.
Well, remember this though, too. Leon fired that gun at Batista. It has Leon's fingerprints on the gun. So it makes it look like Leon is on the run.
Okay.
So that's what I was getting at though, too. I was thinking, okay, Leon's on the run. That's what makes it look like. Dexter could easily put this in another his yacht somewhere else, fly back out to New York City and make it look like Leon is somewhere else where he's where nobody expects him to be at.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that would make sense, I guess.
But
I wonder if Batista's going to go down as the Bay Harbor Butcher, though.
I don't think so. I think he's just going to go as a retired cop that was, you know, in over his head, got too close, and he didn't realize the person that he was trying to warn was actually a serial killer enthusiast or a fanboy. So I think it was just coincidental that's what happened. So I'm thinking it's just going to be him as a retired cop, and that's how they're going to do it. And then also, too, all the attention now, it goes from the serial killer room to Melvin finding the weapon of the Bay Harbor Butcher, and then Wallace finding the Bay Harbor Butcher file. So now it's going to be a whole entire hunt down for the Bay Harbor Butcher in season two, I think. It's going to be like Silence of the Lambs meets Dexter kind of vibe.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, then another thing, too, that I wanted to mention is this with Quinn. I think Quinn's going to come in season two now.
Oh, definitely. I feel like because, you know, he's like, what are you doing in New York? I got a call, you know, so he's going to. I don't know if he's going to avenge anything, but he's definitely going to be a problem for Dexter.
Yeah.
You know, because like that's a little too convenient to happen. You know, he starts doing the math about everything. But yeah, I mean, I love that actor. So more of him. Great for me.
Me too. Me too as well. I like seeing Joey Quinn back. And I think that it's going to, and also too, whenever he gets, they get the body back from Batista, they're like, oh, Batista died in New York City. What happened?
Yeah. So, I mean, we have so much going on for like a possible season two. I mean, I hope we get it because if we look at the numbers and how great just like the watches, the streaming has been, you know, like Dexter has such a huge audience and fans, like diehard fans like us, that are just so happy to have Michael C. Hall back. And so, like, yes, please, more seasons.
Same here. And another thing, too, that I'm very excited about is the yacht and then how Dexter has the files of Al. And then you have the other serial killer files. And then it goes into the monologue of, this is who you want. This is who you want me to be. I'll always be Dexter Morgan. And I'm like, he's breaking the fourth wall here. He's talking to us as the audience. He goes, this is who you want. This is who I always wanted, who you want me to be. And I'll always be Dexter Morgan.
Yeah.
So I like that whole entire thing of breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah. Wasn't that weird? It was like he was talking to us. Yeah. He says, I kind of wrote it down. He's like, I'm Dexter Morgan, exactly who I need to be, exactly who you need me to be. And it was straight to camera. I was like, ah!
And I loved it because it's
yep. As fans, that's what I mean. This is like a lot of fan service season. I feel like just everything that they've given us all, like touching back with Batista, just touching back with Quinn, all of these different OG players. And so it's just a ton of fan service, which is great. But also, I want to continually learn, and I want more Dexter to be the focus, not just, you know, wave like a pageant waving by, you know,
exactly
with each character. Yeah, because like it gets a little much for me because it's like I like the OG ones where there was Dexter was having to like get out of these issues, and the focus was mainly on him, I would say.
I gotcha. And you see, for me, I think it's like this. It's like, look, we screwed up on Dexter. We screwed up. This is who you want Dexter to be. This is who he's always going to be. So this is us making up to you on everything that happened before this. So I definitely like the way it ended. I thought it tied in everything nice and neat. I thought the 46-minute marker, yeah, some of it was rushed in a sense because of the stuff that we mentioned. But I thought it was a solid episode. It was everything I wanted in a Dexter episode. It was, and then the cliffhanger, I think, is actually perfect because of the fact we don't know too much about what's going to be happening next for the next season. Mm-hmm. So it leaves us like on our toes of like, okay, what are the consequences with this? How is this going to lead into season two? Is Quinn going to show up? Is what's going to happen? They're still looking for Leon. And then are they still going to be looking for the Bay Harbor Butcher? Or do they already have the Bay Harbor Butcher in season two going into it? And it's going to be something different. So you have different layers that they can fool around with.
Yeah, there's a lot going on to lead us into a season two. But Yeah, I mean, I feel like the ending was a little too tidy. I would have liked a little bit more, like, I don't know, just a little bit more open-ended on some of the stuff. Like what I was saying before, that we didn't really need to see Charlie and, you know, her mom getting in the car. Like, I didn't need that. I mean, I guess it's kind of seeing, like, where is Dexter going to go? Is he going to stay, like, stand firm and stay in New York? Or is he going to try to convince his son to go with him? You know, like, what's the next plan of attack? Because, yeah, we're going to, I mean, obviously it seems like Al's going to be one of the main contenders for the next season. Because, you know, that was open-ended. But, yeah, and then I guess it's like we didn't get any resolution with the New York Ripper, right? Like,
right,
that felt like a total letdown. But
all we got is a name.
The mega, the boss fight in season two, we'll be
right
figuring out. Because I was trying to research, like, we don't know who that character is. That's because at first I was like, oh, is that like Leon's, his, like, the killer who killed his parents, like, is that who that is? But we still don't know who, like, we've got a name, but I don't
know. That's all we got. We got a name and that's it.
Yeah, so we've never experienced that.
But you know what, though? I'm glad all we have is a name and it's not anybody related to anybody in the past.
Yeah.
So I'm glad they're not going with anybody from the past. It's something new. And that's something that I like, where there's no connection to Dexter's past. It's just somebody in New York City that's been killing people. And now Dexter has to go on ahead and figure out who this Bay Harbor Butcher is. Or maybe he winds up trying to kill a serial killer that's tied in with the New York City Ripper. Or somewhere there's a connection to where Dexter has to bring the New York City Ripper down.
Yeah, well, it feels like that would be one of his prime suspects. I mean, like, prime people to get if that person's still alive. I mean, I wonder if Dexter is aware of who this person is or not, because it's kind of weird that, you know, because, like, it feels like with Leon, with his, like, serial killer dinners, all of the people that are alive and active come to the dinners. And so for him not to join leads me to think that, like, maybe he died and then it's going to be like, but you get what I mean?
Right. Exactly. But I think
it's like, why haven't we met him yet? You know,
I think also too, though, like, they had a lot going on with the serial killer party with Leon and stuff, to where they don't want to force an appearance by him to maybe it opened for interpretation, also a little bit of a mystery element. But also too, I think it's like, okay, for Dexter, I feel like, you know what? The New York City Butcher thing is the police thing. So I'm going to leave it to the police to work on this while I go on ahead and take care of Leon. Because remember, there was actually an episode where two serial killers were happening at the same time. So it was like, okay, I'm going to leave this open for the police. I'm going to focus on this other serial killer. I forgot what season it was. I think it might have been one where it was this guy who was scraping the skin off of somebody. Mm-hmm. And that serial killer, and then there was also another serial killer going on, and Dexter let the cops handle one of the two. So I think that's what's going on too.
Yeah, well, they're definitely, the writers are definitely giving us hope that we'll meet the New York Ripper in the next season. And most likely, I mean, I feel like Dexter would probably go after him, or the New York Ripper is going to go after Dexter, like, maybe come out of retirement because his funding is gone. You know, like, because
right.
I assume if Leon has files on these people, that he is and has trophies, is somehow connected. Either he's supporting and funding them in some kind of way, like paying them off, or they come to the dinner. And since we never got to meet this guy, like, I feel like it's, for some reason, he's under Leon's thumb, so to speak.
I mean, no longer. Even though he's not there, he's spiritually there. And, you know, who's to say that he didn't try to buy into other serial killers in case something happened?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many what ifs. I mean, we love as fans. It's like, this is like one of our fun things. It's like, I love talking about the series and stuff. And it's like, obviously, like the writers are going to do whatever. But as a fan who knows Dexter and knows that universe, it's fun to kind of think about all the possibilities. Because I love Dexter's universe. I love the show. I love him. And I just want him to be safe. And it's like what I said in the beginning, it's like, how many times is Dexter Moore gonna be accused of being the Bay Harbor Butcher? And it's like, for me, it's like, at least one more. Like, give him one more chance.
That's how I feel too. Away. I don't want him to get caught. I would just want him to keep on going.
Yeah, it's like the constant trope, you know, like almost in every episode, he's in danger for his life and he somehow gets out. So, but I kind of love that about the show too.
Same here. So I think that's everything that we had wanted to cover as far as this episode finale goes. Guys, I know that Jason's not here because he's on a, like we mentioned last week, he's out on a cruise. So I'm going to have his thoughts later on. But, you know, it was great having you and Jason here talking about Dexter. I feel like this is one of the best shows that I've actually done with any of my guests and stuff. But I just want to say thank you for your time and dedication to doing this review with me. I do appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. This is so fun. I love chatting Dexter, and I, you know, it's like we're all friends, and I love that I get to like have a fun chat with friends and deep dive about it. And thanks for giving me, you know, this platform to like talk about my silly thoughts about Dexter.
You're very welcome.
You know, like talk about all of that stuff. So I totally, this is fun for me. And I like to say like, cause I used to never do like podcasts or deep dives or anything like that. Like outside of like people coming over or like friends, you know, like talking right. to friends about this stuff. But now I've made so many friends, you know, just doing different press tours and stuff. I love this. And I kind of joke that like, it's kind of saving my marriage because now I have an outlet that I can talk about horror and I can talk about films and film history and shows and stuff. So this is fun for me.
I'm glad because you're going to be back again to do Ghost Ship with me. I haven't forgotten. I just want to let you know you're still going to do Ghost Ship. So
perfect. Yeah. And anything else, it's so much fun to talk with you. And I love your perspectives on everything. So yeah, we're so like-minded, I feel like with,
I do too.
The like what we like to see and how we like to describe stuff. So I feel like we riff off of each other. Really
I really do. I feel that way. Same way too. I think we have a good chemistry going with each other as far as our viewpoints go with the show and things like that. I do appreciate that so much. The back and forth, the conversations, the geeking out over certain things and speculations. I really enjoy it. But yeah, it's been a great ride, and stuff. And I can't wait for us to do this again next time when we have season two. But I do have one quick announcement that I want to make, everyone aware of. So I have comedian Josh Prey coming back on with me on the 10th of September. He's going to be on there with Rossi and I. We're going to be talking about who asked for this. And basically it's about why do we need a sequel to Speed 2 when Speed 1 was so good? Why did we need a sequel to the Son of the Mask? Well, the sequel to The Mask. But we're going to talk about all that. We're going to talk about spinoffs, sequels, prequels, stuff like that. Go on and check us out at Wednesday night, 6:00 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8:00 p.m. Central Standard Time for that. And I have my good friend Zoe coming on from the Backlook Cinema Podcast. We're going to be doing Rookie of the Year. And you guys voted for this one on our YouTube channel. So that's actually going to be on the 21st of September for that. And then, of course, we have our Peacemaker Season 2 review that I'm going to be doing with my good friend Chris. And yeah, we have a lot of good stuff here going on here at Movie Lovers Tonight. And always until next time, guys, don't forget to smash the like button, subscribe button. Don't forget to support Anastasia and Richard with their projects and stuff like that. They do a fantastic job over there with their stuff. So always until next time, guys, have a great and safe day, and we'll catch you guys on the next one. Thank you again, Anastasia.
Thank you.
Very well. All right. Bye, guys.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.